Hello, I'm Carolyn Baines from Farnham Quakers, and I just want to welcome you to this Centering Down with Compassion podcast. Centering down is a term some Quakers use to describe the process of coming into stillness. And each month, we take one of the 42 short paragraphs that Quakers use to help them explore different aspects of a spiritual life. And these are referred to in the rather quaint term of advices and queries. So our group is open to anyone who would like to explore ways into stillness and community. And if you want to get in touch, please visit farnham.quakermeeting.org. I hope you enjoy the podcast. So children and young people need love and stability. Are we doing all we can to uphold and sustain parents and others who carry the responsibility for providing this care? So I'll just sort of scooch back to the first bit. Children and young people need love and stability. Sounds obvious, doesn't it? And I've been thinking about the words love and stability a lot this month. You think of stability, stable. It actually literally means able to stand. Able to stand. And of course, the word stable is used to refer to a home for animals. We think of homing. And also where we're told Jesus was born. You're able to stand. And how to help children to be able to stand, to feel at home, you know, in our hearts and minds, to know that they're cherished. I was really fortunate in my first teaching job to be in a school with what has to be the best school motto of any school I've ever worked in. And it went like this: it is not enough to love children, they must know that they are loved. It is not enough to love children, they must know that they are loved. And this was lived and breathed by the inspiring and exceptionally kind head teacher, Anne Coleman. How do we do this? How do we let children know that they are loved? So, as many of you know, I'm privileged enough to be around children all day. And it is a daily lesson in love. It's as though children are only tuned into one radio station, and that is love. And it puts me in mind of Dame Julian of Norwich, who is told by God, love is the meaning. So recently I had an insight into this in a practical way, where, you know, it was a rainy, windy day and my class of seven-year-olds were having a really tricky time settling. And I was able to catch this inner pressure to perform as a teacher and get through the songs that needed practicing for the concert and, you know. And I sort of just noticed, I noticed that pressure, and it helped me to come back to my mission statement. Perhaps my mission statement as a teacher, to connect with children with love, so they can always feel loved and connected via music. And the children this week have really been blissing out on the lyrics and the harmonies and the melodies of Christmas carols. You know, they just light up with joy and excitement. It's been quite wonderful to see. Yeah, a place to stand. Hafiz writes in a poem where, in this poem, God is speaking. I created you because I thought you'd enjoy it. And of course, enjoyment is the superpower of children. They really know, don't they, how to enjoy life. They dig down deep with every hot chocolate or every leaf or each new carol. It's all amazing. And I wonder if that's why Jesus asked us to be like children, you know, to look out at the world with wide eyes of wonder and love. And of course, there's that wonderful research on happiness, or as Oprah Winfrey calls it, happierness. It includes the three things: enjoyment, satisfaction, and meaning. Yeah, enjoyment, satisfaction, and meaning. So last week in a rehearsal, I was working with some six-year-olds, and one boy And he was super because he's one of these people who you really think is just not listening for the whole 45 minutes, you know. And there he was. He put his hand up and he says, "What is worship?" And so it was a phrase in a song that the children were learning. And I asked the children to close their eyes and think of a time when they were filled with awe and wonder. And they said things like, you know, looking at my baby brother sleeping, or looking at a sunset, or singing together, or a hug with my mum. How close, you know, enjoyment is to worship. They're kind of touching. And we sink into that experience. We really, really let it in. Let it be a place to stand, you know, not a passing feeling. We just breeze on by. But a trait that's kind of woven in to the fabric of who we are. So apparently it takes, according to Rick Hansen, 15 seconds for the brain to build new neural pathways. Okay, so 15 seconds, that's three slow, intentional breaths. Three breaths to catch our enjoyment and let it become worship. We're just going to take three breaths now. Just take three breaths. And those of you who've been coming a while, you know I often like to sort of do grounded with the first breath. Greeted. You're here. You made it. At the end of your Monday. You're here. Greeted. And with the third breath, gathered. So you're kind of gathered into arms. Warm, receiving arms, gathered into this moment. So stable, how can we give love and stability to children? And you know, in our times together, it hasn't been my way to say what should or shouldn't be done. And more often, I find myself wanting to explore what gets in the way of this, you know? If loving and enjoyment and providing that stability and stability and cherishing children, if that's like our natural place, what is it that blocks that flow, you know? What prevents meetings, for example, from supporting parents and children, starting and resourcing children's meeting? What prevents me from being in that flow of love and stability? There may be lots of things, right? There might be we're hungry or tired or feeling unwell, all those sorts of things. And one of the biggest areas, I think, that prevents this flow of love and stability, I sort of imagine it as, I don't know, a waterfall or a river or something, you know, flowing. And I think it's the sense of lack. There's not enough story that plays kind of endlessly in our minds. And I get this, you know, it's I'm too tired, or I'm too unskillful, or I'm too overwhelmed. Yeah, the experience of being in a state of permanent anxiety and exhaustion, that's my biggest memory of being a young mum. And I just remember that pure relief and gratitude that once a month someone else would have the children in meeting and I could be in the silence. Oh, I could breathe, you know. So one blockage is the sense of not enough. And the other blockage, I think, is perhaps this lack of simplicity and stability in my own mind. All right. And this has been a real focus of my daily practice, my daily meeting for worship recently, to really try to cultivate this stable, calm presence. And there's a wonderful story that Rick Hansen tells in this book, Neurodharma, where he describes going to hear the Dalai Lama speak in California. The Dalai Lama came over. And there was a lot of security around him as he arrived and entered the big sort of meditation hall. And as Rick Hansen tells it, he doesn't recall much of what the Dalai Lama said, but he was really drawn to watching this man just off to the side who was in a grey suit, and he looked like he might have been a rugby player or, you know, American football. He was filling the suit, and he just stood there completely relaxed and arms by his side with a sort of smile on his face and standing tall with this incredible attention and stillness, right? And he realized that this man was constantly scanning the crowd with friendliness and welcome and presence. And then it dawned on Rick that this man in the grey suit was the Dalai Lama's personal bodyguard, right? The last line of protection. And this image inspired Rick Hansen, and it's really inspired me too, that I could have this sort of really muscular, protective, stable presence, staying with the breath, tracing it. It puts me in mind of those, I don't know if you remember, those old games that you would get at fairgrounds. I used to love them, where you'd hold something and there'd be a wire and you would have to trace another wire this way and that way. And if your wire accidentally touched the wire, there'd be a buzz, okay, a little buzz. And I get a sense of that sort of, if I can stay with the breath, each breath, and maybe there could be a little buzz that, you know, if I lose it a little bit, to bring me back. Oh, I'm here again, present, greeting myself again at the door. So this is the invitation today for us, is to cultivate the stability, and for you to practice, if you like, over the next month. And as always, I love to hear from you on email about how your practice is going. So we're going to spend the next 20 minutes on a stability practice. So I'm going to invite you to get comfortable. If you're finding it hard to hear me, do enable closed captions. I'll come closer as well. That's good. Great. And the practice that I'm going to invite us to do is where you're counting the breaths. And if for some reason that's tricky for you, don't worry. One thing that you can try is just like a tiny movement. If someone was looking at your thumbs, they wouldn't see them move, but just letting your thumbs rise and fall with the breath and letting your thumbs be the focus. If for some reason it's dysregulating to focus on the breath, you can let your thumbs do the breathing if you like. So we're going to sort of invite you to have that image of the bodyguard in mind, if you like. So you're going to sit with a bit of intention to really have some rock solid stability, yeah? Like a mountain, sitting like a mountain with your roots, sensing your roots with your sit bones and your feet and whatever's connecting your back. And maybe there's some integrity with your spine, how your spine is aligned. Your vertebrae just stacked beautifully on top and letting your shoulders relax down. And you might soften your tummies and soften your hands. We're going to count our breaths, I'm going to invite you to really feel the in-breath through the nostrils. Really feel, sense the out-breath. Perhaps stay with the sensations of breathing around the nostrils. And at the end of the out-breath, just, you know, like you're planting a seed, just gently place that number one. And you'll keep doing that up to 8, placing the number at the end of the out-breath. And when you get to 8, you can go backwards from 8 to 1. Sensing the breath and placing the number. And sometimes I like to just, on when you've placed that number, to reset the intention. I really want to stay with the next breath. The mind wanders off, not to worry, just starting again at 1. Sensing the stability of the mind grow, or setting the intention, may my next breath, may I be stably present to it. We know the mind is a thinking machine. Well, don't worry, it's just doing what it's doing if it's wandered off. You can just gently bring it back. And start again. For the next round, when you get there, I'm going to invite you, if you like, to bring your focus now to the sensation of breathing at the chest. So letting a sort of, letting your mind rest right in the middle of your chest and feel the expansion and contraction of the chest, the rising and the falling as you count. Placing your intention to stay with each breath. And finally, if you like, if you'd like to try this, let your attention drop down even deeper. So this idea of centering down right to perhaps the base of the spine, perhaps about 5 centimeters in front of the spine. Your center of gravity, your deep sort of centered place. And let yourself breathe from that place. Placing your intention again to stay with each breath as much as you can. children and young people need love and stability? Are we doing all we can to uphold and sustain those responsible for their care? When you're ready, friends, you can gently open your eyes and come back.